Do you think baseball games are too long? Is pass interference in the NFL as indiscernible as gravity waves from a galaxy far, far away? There is so much that is right about sports, but so much to correct. That's why we're here today. We're going to make sports great again. It's Monday, November 6th. I'm Joe Sullivan, sitting in for Chris Gasper, and this is Season Ticket. Welcome to Season Ticket, a daily podcast from the Boston Globe Sports Department and WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Joe Sullivan, sports editor of the Globe, and today I'm joined by Globe columnist Dan Shaughnessy and you via Twitter, the listeners. We're going to discuss rules we want to change, rules that detract from the enjoyment of watching games. You know what I'm talking about, Dan, right?
Oh, sure, and I think the audience is a big part of this because you and I both get emails on a daily basis about events and complaining about this and that and things they want to fix and tweak, and the population is largely correct on this. There's a lot to do to make things better than they already are.
So if you and I should be in charge, then things would be right, right? Hey, look, don't look at this as a remake of Grumpy Old Men. This is Dan and I.
Yeah.
We're going to fix things here. And hopefully you too, what you suggest. And hopefully the leagues will listen to us. That would be great, wouldn't it?
I think they all listen to this podcast.
All right, David Stern and the rest of... David Stern's not even commissioner anymore.
Now we are Grumpy Old Men.
Oh, man, that's horrible. All right, Adam Silver.
Boy Kuhn, you listening?
All right, we're off to a terrible start. But let's start with your favorite sport, baseball, Dan. So it used to be my favorite long ago, but who watches a whole baseball game anymore on television?
Yes, on last Sunday night, you know, 8 days ago, it's just a wonderful game. It's a 13-12, a million home runs, knockdown, comebacks, all that stuff. But when you're there, you lose sight of the fact that it is 1:39 in the morning in Boston when this game ends. So for all your enthusiasm, the people who are trying to get the slumbers out of their eyes and stay with this thing are largely waking up in the morning and finding out what happened. For the television audience, it's dreadful. It's a problem. It needs to be adjusted.
We agree then.
Yes.
So first suggestion, when I am king of baseball, I'm going to eliminate batting gloves. Every pitch, they step out to adjust these stupid batting gloves that they don't need anyway. Dan, can we get rid of batting gloves?
No, nope, that's draconian. Not going to go for it. The game has evolved to the point where you're taking away a piece of equipment that they use as Little League. It would take a generation or two to get that to the big league level. You could start it now and ban them in Little League. No, guys rely on that, and I understand it. Your hands are sweating. It's slippery. I wish I had had them in high school. It's an issue for players. You're taking away a vital piece of equipment. No.
You say they're used to using the batting gloves since they were in Little League.
Yeah, binkies.
Well, what about aluminum bats? They use those in Little League in college, and they don't use them when they play pros. So they can change that. They change bats, they can change gloves.
Those changes aren't the same. Eliminating the bats, that's across the board. Everybody gets that. Some guys are affected by the glove thing more than others, and it would not be fair to take them away after using them for 15 years. You can do it in other ways. I understand the stepping out and tweaking the gloves. Yes, adjust that. A pitch clock is the first thing, is the most obvious thing, you know, make the pitcher throw to the batter, have a clock back there, penalize them if they don't.
But if there's a pitch clock, how does that keep the guy in the box?
He gets to take time once. He gets to step out once.
We're making that rule.
Yeah, you limit these things. You limit the catchers visiting the mound. You know, maybe they get one an inning. You know, this nonsense of going out there two and three times. But the pitcher stepping off the rubber or the hitter stepping out of the box, that is number one. Pitch clock, have the umpire keep the guy in the box. Limit the amount of times you can get out of the box.
So what's the penalty if you get out of the box?
You get a strike.
Oh, now you're talking, Dan.
Yeah.
I want some rule changes here. Just saying we're going to keep people in the box and the umpires take charge, that doesn't work.
Right. Well, they tried to do it a few years ago, but it just kind of went away, and guys got back into their habits, and they do that. There are rule changes that I'm not going to allow, so I'm not going to go for eliminating shifts. Shifts are okay. It doesn't cause any time. That's not a thing. So don't forget about the elimination of shifts. It's legal. You can use your nine guys any way you want to, and it's not a time sucker. Not much.
I'm with you on that one.
Okay.
It would be like saying a football team could not use five defensive backs.
I mean,
you do what's best to help you win. I'm with you on that. They need to shift quickly. That's all. I want to do it quickly. Here's one I want to ask you. Foul balls drive me nuts. There's so many foul balls. Three foul balls and you're out. Just like, hey, when you were on the playgrounds at Groton and you guys were playing the baseball, was that not the rule?
I understand what you're saying. You cannot do that. That's ridiculous. It's changing everything about baseball as we know it. I understand it. And this notion of grinding out a bat that is rewarded, oh, great at bat, he fouled off 17 pitches. You know, it's really hard to watch. It's a waste of baseballs. Hard to watch. I agree. It's a competitive thing. They teach it. They work at it. And it's unfortunate, but I think we're stuck with that one.
So they teach fouling off balls?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah?
You waste a pitch. That's a master. It's a skill. I have one before you get to the next one.
All right, go ahead.
This notion of the guy steals second, and they replay it, see if he popped up and came off for a split second.
Yeah.
No, you stole the base and you made it, or you didn't. If you get up and wander away and they tag you, that's one thing. But this idea of he lost contact with the base for one split second, let's replay it a million times, Zapruder film. No, I am not okay with that. That is crazy. That's just, it, go back to the quote-unquote neighborhood play there. He stole the base, leave it alone. Feel strongly about that one.
Really,
I hate that.
Do, Dan.
It's
so
gotten out of control.
What about replay in general?
Replay in general, you know, I'm okay with it. You know, I understand, but it's gone too many things, and that's one. You don't replay that one.
All right, so I want to turn to our listeners here who sent us some ideas via Twitter and on Facebook. This is from MM. That's all. Mickey Mantle? Is that, that's what you think of when you hear MM? How about this? Eliminate the home plate umpire and have balls and strikes called electronically.
I understand that. It's possible now with chips and you know, you could have a chip in the player's letters and knees and a chip in the ball, and did it go through the zone, that whole thing. It's taking away the human element. I don't like it. I understand it. I don't like it. Nope, not going for it.
In general, I just wish umpires would call more strikes.
Absolutely. It's like when you're in Little League, you tell everybody, be up there swinging. We're going to keep this thing moving. We're calling strikes.
The strike zone is so small. Yes. It's not the strike zone as it's defined by the rule book.
Right.
All right, one more from the listeners, and then we'll move on to football. So this Twitter handle is Dave Pallone. That's like a former umpire's name.
Yes.
So DH in baseball is what Dave says. Mm-hmm. So basically, should the DH be in both leagues, or should the DH be eliminated? I'm for eliminating the DH.
Well, it's a lot of jobs. The Players Association will never go for it, and a lot of good ideas get die in the Players Association's bin. So that will not happen. I think the baseball likes the argument. They like the back and forth. One has it, one doesn't. It's weird because every other league except the National League has the DH at every level. There's always a DH, and then you get to the professional level and you don't have it. So these guys don't know how to hit because they haven't been doing it for a long time. I understand the argument. I'm okay with keeping it the way it is. A little extra intrigue. I'm okay with it.
Oh, Dan, I have so many other questions.
It's okay.
But we have to move on to the sport of football. And mostly I have a problem with penalties in football. And first thing that bothers me, and I mentioned it in the opening, pass interference.
Yes.
Could be called on every pass play, could be not called on every pass play. And the idea that you can gain 40 yards on one penalty just seems out of whack with every other penalty they call in the games. So I want defensive pass interference to be 10 yards. I'll give you an automatic first down, 10 yards. Just like offensive pass interference is 10 yards.
Well, I understand.
Yeah.
But suppose they're, you know, you run their 40 and you throw a 40-yard bomb into the end zone and it's going to be a touchdown and their guy just wipes out your guy, tackles him, just pushes him out of bounds so he can't catch it.
Yeah.
Then the penalty, a 10-yard penalty, you're just going to see chaos on the long plays like that. It's only going to cost you 10. Any chance, just kill the guy.
So you're saying the rule the way it is now is supposed to prevent pass interference?
I think it's problematic in both directions. I understand why I don't like teams taking a shot when they have nothing else. Their only hope on this is to get a flag.
Yeah,
it's like, we'll take a shot.
Yeah, what a cheesy way to do it. So we have to eliminate
it. It's problematic. I don't know.
10 yards. Now, offensive holding and defensive holding. Again, there's not equal justice is what I'm going for here. So defensive holding is 5 yards and automatic first down. Offensive holding, 10 yards, and you repeat the down, obviously. I say we need to make them equal. So it's 5 yards each way, no automatic first down.
We should have brought Bill Belichick in for this discussion. So whatever he says in this, I would agree with, but I'm not going to dispute you on that one. I will cede that
really?
One to
you. Really? You're going to
cede
that one to me?
I will cede that one to you. I have one. I have one for football.
Go ahead.
Okay, the coin toss is just beyond belief. I mean, overtime is a mess. The notion that you can win a game and the other team never touches the ball. Same deal with the start of the game. The Patriots have figured out this notion, you know, they want you to take the ball at the start of the game. So they will have it at the end of the first half and the start of the second half, the famed double score. So I am just in favor, like in baseball, the visiting team bats first. So in football, the visiting team gets the ball. So it's not this stupid coin flip game where one team's strategy is paying off on the luck of the draw, the luck of the coin flip. So make it standard. Visiting team takes the ball first.
I really like that, Dan.
Thank
That's
you.
Very
Thank you.
Good. And then in overtime, both teams have to have possession.
Absolutely. I don't care how you do it. They both get to touch the ball.
All right, here's how I feel about overtime. Let's get rid of it. I don't think they need overtime in a regular season. It's a tie. It's not the end of the world to have a tie. I can live with a tie, Dan. Now, what do you do in the playoffs? Here's what you do. You put 15 minutes on the clock and you play all 15 minutes. Then you put another 15 and keep playing if you're in a Super Bowl. So the Patriots get the touchdown against the Falcons. The Falcons still have the Patriots scored pretty quickly, as I recall. Still have 12 minutes or something to rally. So play a fifth quarter.
Not bad.
That's what I want in the playoffs. One last thing about for football about safety, headshots. They've done their best to legislate it out of the game. These guys, this didn't used to be this way, Dan, where guys tackled with their helmets face head first and into other guys' helmets. It's really horrible when you see it in that super slow motion, isn't it?
Yes.
So they got to start ejecting people like college football.
Game misconduct.
Yeah, there you go. Like hockey, a game misconduct. So we agree we need to eject for headshots.
I do that.
And you know what? They can use replay for that.
Yes.
To make sure that it happened, because sometimes it looks bad, but it really wasn't bad. All right, Dan. I think we covered some good ground there. Up next, Dan will stay with us, and we're going to move on to basketball and hockey. Hockey, favorite sport of both of us. Stay with us. Welcome back, and I have a favor to ask. If you like Season Ticket, subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribing is the best way to make sure you get the latest episode as soon as it's available. Okay, Dan, now we're going to move on to the sport of basketball. You're known as a baseball guy, but you covered a lot of basketball in your days. You even brag about your high school basketball career at times.
Well, I was on the bench a lot, but it was there.
I'm going to let you go first on basketball. What thoughts you have for that?
Well, a couple things I need to address just quickly. One is this is a very small, arcane thing. It doesn't even affect the NBA. But in high school and college, to my knowledge, if you get a technical foul, it counts as one of your five.
Yeah, that's true.
That is ridiculous. That didn't exist when I played. And that's how now we are old guys talking again. Yeah. But I saw a high school basketball player, his career end in the state tournament. He had three fouls. He got a cheesy call, and the ref called the foul, and he overreacted. He didn't do anything really demonstrative, but you know, maybe slammed the ball on the floor and caught it quickly like that. His career was over. Two fouls just like that. He was at five. His high school career ended on a cheesy call followed by a technical foul, which he barely deserved. And
well, what's your solution?
It doesn't count as one of your five.
And then what's the penalty for the technical foul besides the free throw?
That's it.
If you get two?
No, you rejected. That's fine.
That's okay.
Yeah, twos. Yeah, that's fine.
We need penalties.
Yeah, but you know it's coming then. But, you know, a kid reacting who has three fouls and then gets a cheesy fourth and then reacts, your career should not end like that. I thought it was one of the worst things ever. That's a little thing. Another little thing Larry Bird used to tell me was he didn't think that when you line up for the free throw, you should get credit for that rebound on the miss. He thought, you know, you're already gaining position and that there's no do not credit. And that's just a statistical thing. Because you'd see, like, Rondo was a rebound whore. He would chase the ball at the other end of the floor at the end of the quarter and go pick it up so they'd get one more rebound. And he just loved that sort of thing. So, you know, you got to be more honest with the statistical stuff there. I have one more basketball thing, but I'll let you go first before I do anymore.
Well, you know, I would love to argue with you about the foul line one, but you brought in Larry Bird.
I'm totally blunted
there. I can't do anything. But this has to do with foul shots, too. After every free throw, make or miss, everyone's got to slap hands.
Yeah, what is that?
So no touching the foul shooter at any point
until
he's done.
It's annoying when they miss, they all congratulate.
Yes, and it also it lengthens things. We're trying to shorten things here. Okay. So that's the theme of the day. What's your other one?
My other one for basketball is fewer timeouts.
Oh, my God, yes.
You just make them count. Make them worthy and just eliminate whatever the number is. Cut it in half. And they can't be doing this nonsense at the end.
Do you not see how many timeouts the NBA coaches start with?
No.
It's like seven for each team.
Preposterous.
It is preposterous. Yeah. And yet they get the TV timeouts. I'm so in favor of this. One timeout per half. Maybe two in the second. Yeah. One in the first, two in the second. That is it.
Got to figure out a way to get more continuous play at the end of games.
Yes.
I mean, just the last 40 seconds takes like 20 minutes with commercials and everything else. That is just not acceptable.
They have all the TV timeouts anyway. Yes. Why do they need these other ones? It's ridiculous. And it's overcoached at the end. I'd rather see, like you just said, some free flow and players making decisions rather than coaches diagramming plays. Unless you're Brad Stevens, because it seems like every time he comes out of a timeout, they get a dunk.
Yes, he knows how to draw plays off the timeout. Let me ask you this about the format of the NBA Finals, the 2-3-2. I am okay with 2-3-2. 2-2-1-1-1 is too much travel.
So it's true. Like the 2-3-2 in the NBA, the basis of it was for the media, right?
David
Stern, since I mentioned him incorrectly earlier, he did that for the media so they'd have one less plane flight, right?
Well, and it was the 1984 finals, which was the greatest finals ever, Celtics-Lakers. So it was 2-3-2. The team that has won the most regular season games has four home games, but the notion is they end up playing three of the first five on the road. You could lose the series in five games and only have had two home games, and you had the best overall record, so you're punished. The Celtics tried to have it both ways. They didn't mind the 2-2-1-1-1, the flying back and forth. It was changed after that to 2-3-2, and then the next year they lost in six and blamed it on the 2-3-2. So I think you can't have it both ways. I'm fine with baseball's been doing it for 120 years.
Yeah, baseball's always been that
2-3-2 is okay with me.
All right. Here's a small one that I want. When a violation occurs, let's someone gets called for traveling, and like, so he's got to give the ball to the referee. Everyone's got to get over to the sidelines. I think the defensive team should be able to just grab the ball and inbound it quick, like they do in soccer when there's a violation. You can just like take the ball and kick it really quick. Yes?
No, I'm okay with that.
Interesting things would happen.
You reminded me.
We could just spit sports right now. All right? We were going to include soccer in this, but you've led us down this path.
It's got more stupid rules than any other sports.
All right, so what's your soccer change?
My soccer one is, let's get rid of the injury time at the end of the game and the notion that one person in the whole world knows how much time is left on the clock. You've got the most important game in the world, World Cup final, whatever, and it's 0-0 or 1-1 or whatever it is, and then the game clock goes down to zero, and they're still out there.
It actually goes up to 90. But
and the guy, the man who knows the fate of the universe, no one else knows. One person is running around with a whistle and his injury time watch, his whatever they pack on time thing. It takes away all the drama of sports. You watch the clock go down to zero. They have this one guy, and everyone else is left in the dark on this important event as to how much time is left. The stupidest rule in sports. It owns to the corruption of soccer right there. You know that guy's in the bag.
All right, my quick soccer one is you can't kick the ball back to your own goalie because they get out of trouble that way. I want to get rid of it. Or a backcourt rule, like a line, a backcourt line.
I'll accept that. Not going to
fight
you. All
right, Dan, we can't leave hockey out. But I just have one, and it's goalie pads. They drive me crazy. These guys have so much equipment on.
Yeah.
So they can use the same material, the high-tech material they're using now, but they have to be the same size that Terry Sawchuk wore back in the 50s and 60s. Terry Sawchuk, of course, was an all-star goalie back in the NHL in the 50s and 60s when the equipment was a lot smaller. And I think we can go back to that. That's my man, Terry Sawchuk.
I'm not going to fight on that too much. And again, this is unfair because there are baseball things I don't want to see change because of the purity of the game and the stats, and it just upsets things. Hockey, I would do something very drastic to hockey just to make the game better, and that is take one guy off the ice from each side. Sometimes when you get those matching penalties, they play 4-on-4, and it is just it's beautiful to watch. And I understand with the lower levels, with it probably wouldn't work with kids aren't as, they don't skate like that. But at the NHL level, give me 4-on-4, pal, and you'd love that game.
Can we agree on eliminating fighting? Just get rid of fighting.
No, I love fighting.
No, we can eliminate fighting. It's macho nonsense.
Yeah, you're just being PC. You're being global PC.
Is that
PC.
What I am?
Yeah, that's what you're being.
I'm against it. Dan, I think we've done enough damage today.
We're going to drop the gloves now.
But we didn't even get to solve the problem in the NBA about tanking for draft picks, which drives me absolutely crazy. But we did get this. We touched on soccer instead, which is totally unexpected.
We're so glad I thought of that.
All right, well, we'll get back to tanking another time. Thanks, Dan.
Thank you, Joe.
That's it for Season Ticket. I'm Joe Sullivan sitting in for Chris Gasper. On Tuesday, Globe media columnist Chad Finn will be the guest host, and his outstanding guest will be Sports Illustrated media columnist Richard Deitch. Thanks for listening.